and I just want to talk a little bit about moving through seasons of opposition. Moving through seasons of opposition. More particularly, moving through your season of opposition. Moving through your season of opposition. And I'm going to give you these points real quick. It's about seven things that you really need to be watching out for. And I based this off of the book of Nehemiah, chapters 1 through 6, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9. It's in Nehemiah 1 through 6. The book of Nehemiah is about Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is a Jew. He is part of God's people. He is serving a king, and his world is going well. Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king, so he's living well. But word comes to him that the walls of Jerusalem have been burned and crumbling. And because that's home for Nehemiah, he gets discouraged over it. Any of you ever hear a word that doesn't necessarily immediately impact you because it's somewhere else, but it still stirs you in a certain way? Come on, just humor me, and about five of y'all raise your hands. Just I need to know some of y'all really tracking with me on this. That's the way God is moving right now, and I believe that's the way God is moving even with believers, as it has to do with what's happening over in Russia and Ukraine as well. Nehemiah was stirred by the fact that he hears this report, and it's not good for his people. I believe God puts that on us. He puts that in us. He stirs our heart, George, to say, you're the one, or you have the potential to be the one. It's like in Isaiah where Isaiah says, here am I, send me. That's what God is looking for in this hour. Some folks who will say, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Not, here am I, I'll go to church. Here am I, send me. This season really is about kingdom assignments. It's about aggressive kingdom advancement. And so Nehemiah takes on this assignment. The moment he takes on the assignment, favor shows up in unprecedented ways on his behalf. It's the same for you and I believe particularly in this season of new assignments coming to you and I, that the moment we say yes, even though we don't have the details of it, favor begins to work on your behalf, on our behalf, on my behalf. I told you recently that we have this brand new soundboard that came in. That soundboard is a gift that came to us. That soundboard came from Abbeville. I just simply said yes to be a part of a meeting in Abbeville. Met the people there, shared what we were doing here, shared that one day we plan to get this particular kind of board, and favor in the room said, we'd love to buy that for you. Now, it's not as much about the board as it is recognizing the season. Yes. Furthermore, walking in obedience, say obedience. I want you to know that the moment that Nehemiah said, I'll do something, the king says to him, what's going on with you? You look a little sad. You've never looked this way before, Nehemiah. I want to tell you that in this season of advancement, God's going to cause people just to walk up to you and say, what's going on with you? How can I help you? And it can be someone that you don't even know real well. The gentleman that said to me, we'd love to buy that for you. I hadn't known that man 24 hours. It doesn't take a long time with God. It's instantaneous in the realm of eternity. Nehemiah just simply said, I just want to go and help and do something. And the king said, well, tell me what you need. And the king supplied Nehemiah with everything needed. Yes. Nehemiah was going out as an apostle. He was being sent out to establish, and everything he needed was made available to him. I want to say to you and I, whether you see it right now or not, whether it's in your bank account or not, if it's not in your bank account, it's in somebody else's bank account. That's why we need the wealth transformation. Okay? And it's not like that, give me my money. It's the grace working, it's the favor working. Those resources are out there, those resources are available. And as we're endeavoring to steward this property, God continues over and over and over to confirm favor on this ministry. Because you have to know, again, it's not about a building, it's about his kingdom. But everywhere his kingdom is, it should be evidence in a way that those looking at it recognize there's something different about those folks. There's something different about that guy. There's something different about that lady. There's something different about them. They don't seem to be your average, regular, everyday church. And whether you understand it or not, heirs, it's not your regular, everyday church. And I've gotten okay with that. Because if it was about trying to blow something up pretty big, we could do that. And we could do that quickly. We got marketing people in the house. I know marketing people all over the world. And I have the connections to do that. We could bring in a guest speaker every month, a notable speaker that everybody in the body of Christ would know. We could have a whole different setup in what we're doing. And yet, what we really want more than anything else, what I want more than anything else, is God, his presence. And allow him to draw who he has purposed to come. Amen? I want to remind you in this season that things are working for your good. I want to remind you that things are working for your good, even in the midst of any challenges that you might face. As Nehemiah began and started out, he had everything that he needed. He had letters, he had the authority, and he started out. As he started out, he found himself met with opposition. That opposition came primarily from two individuals. They were Sanballat and Tobiah. Tobiah and Sanballat. And they were leaders who were hating on Nehemiah. Because politically, they were benefiting from things staying in the condition that they were. Now, I'm not making this into a political message, but these are dynamics that we really do deal with even now. So I'm going to share with you a few things that you're going to have to be aware of, and you're going to have to be able to rise above them as you continue to fulfill what God has purposed to do in your life or receive the new assignment that's coming to you. Because as Nehemiah got there, he rallied the people, and when he rallied the people together, he began to give them assignments to the repair of the wall. And so he would put one group over here, one group over here, one group here concerning this gate, one group here concerning this. And I thank God that he's given us the kind of team here where many of you that are leaders in this house, I want to thank you for helping to share the weight and the responsibility of this ministry. Those of you that come solely on Sundays, you really don't know the people behind the scenes that are continually helping to shoulder the weight and the responsibility of what we're doing here. But Nehemiah sends them out, he delegates responsibility, but then he starts dealing with the opposition. And there's seven things that I want to say about opposition that's going to come your way. Number one, you're going to have to be able to deal with ridicule. Say ridicule. You're going to have to deal with ridicule. Now, oftentimes, ridicule can show up. It can show up in family. It can show up in friends. It can show up in those that are close to you. Ridicule really manifests itself in what I call this critical spirit, this critical nature of what you're doing. The moment you begin to share what you believe your assignment is, and this is why some things you want to hold close to you so that you deal with the least amount of opposition as possible, is that a lot of times when you share it, then someone wants to get critical about your assignment. They want to get critical about it, and they start to pose things to you concerning it that maybe you haven't considered, and maybe God never intended for you to have to consider it at all. Are you with me? And so you have to be mindful of that. You got to be able to rise above it. Say, rise above it. In all of this, this is what Nehemiah was able to do. He was able to rise above it. You're going to have to recognize that as you're moving through, there's going to be the ridicule that's going to be there. There's going to be the challenges that you face of a critical approach that can cause you to slow down because now you're doubting if this was really something you got from God. I'm talking about moving through seasons of opposition. You see, Tobiah and Sanballat showed up, and now they're, you know, well, what makes you think you can do it? Who told you you could do it? Now, what they're really saying is, we've been here all this time, and we ain't done nothing. Now you show up, making us look bad. But Nehemiah pressed right through that. The second thing that I want to say is, you're going to have to navigate through mockery, insults. You're going to have to deal with oftentimes insults. Again, that, well, who are you? What makes you think you can do it? You're no better than the rest of us. Opposition. Opposition. Unfortunately, there's some that never get past this point. You know, there's children that get stopped in their purpose and destiny at a very young age because someone insulted them about what the dream they had. That's why I believe we have this incredible opportunity to gather children together and begin to really teach them and tell them who they are. And tell them that in God anything is possible. One of the things that we have the privilege of doing now with our grandchildren is just that, being able to speak into their lives. Insults, belittling the person, belittling the work that they're doing. Because sometimes you start out and it comes to you, well, it's not going to make any difference anyway. It's not going to make that much of a difference. You're just wasting your time. What they're trying to do is they're trying to insult you, belittle something that potentially is not just life-changing for you, but countless thousands, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions. And all it takes is to be able to rise above it and stay above it. The third thing that you've got to be sensitive to and watch out for is accusations. Say accusations. Accusations. Questioning your motives, accused of self-promotion. You've got to watch out. Questioning your motives. Why are you really doing that? When you may be just doing it out of the goodness of your heart. You may be really doing it out of you heard from God. But now your motives get questioned. Well, you know you're just really doing that because you want to be seen. Now they're talking about, now it's self-promoting. Are you just doing that because you want to be important? Well, I was important before I started doing this, but I'm just telling you. But the accusations come. You see, Tobiah and Sanballat, they begin to accuse them. They begin to accuse them and they begin to say to them, say to Nehemiah, you're just doing this because you're trying to raise yourself up. You're trying to position yourself. They went to the other leaders and tried to tell them that Nehemiah's intentions were not honorable. He's setting this thing up for himself. He's setting it up to take over. If you're going to navigate through a season of opposition, you're going to have to rise above the accusations that come with it. Nehemiah wouldn't allow himself to be moved by those things. How did Nehemiah handle those accusations? How did he handle all of it? He prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed. He got off to himself like Jesus did. Because you see, these same things Jesus dealt with, and every believer who has a sense of purpose and destiny will deal with them as well. Now, if you're just going about life, being saved, going to go to heaven, you go to church, you pay your tithe, you go to a job, you work your job, you're not really talking to anybody about Jesus, you're not really talking to anybody about your faith, you can live that kind of life and never deal with any of this. But the moment you start talking about, I've been called of God, the moment you start saying, I have purpose and destiny, the moment you start saying, I was born for this, I was born for this season, I was born for this moment, I am a part of the change, I am part of the transformation, I am part of the kingdom, I have multiple kingdom assignments. The moment you start talking like that, there's some folks going to hate on you. And sometimes they're closer to you than you can really take it. So then there's the accusations, the questioning of your motives. Well, why are you doing that? Accused of self-promotion. And you got to be mindful. You got to be careful with that as well. I recently, you all know that many of you know that I'm just finishing up a new book. And same faith, same God, living in the realm of ridiculous faith. We worked on it. We've been working on it for some time. Pastor Deborah worked on it. Excellent job on it. It's going to be coming out soon. We had two covers of the book that were designed. And one cover is a beautiful blue sky, water, really nice cover. The other cover had my picture on it. And I found myself navigating through what people think I think about me. What people think I think about me. You got to watch that. You can't live in that space of what you think people think about you. And so I had these two different covers, and so I said, well, what do you think about this one? What do you think about this cover? And I had people say, well, yeah, that's a nice cover with you on the cover, but you know, but I know you. You know, some other people they may not know you, and you know, I just don't want them to think that you know you're trying to be whatever. I said, okay, what do you think about this cover? Now, that's a good cover. Da, da, da. I went about a week with this, okay? Now, the reason why I'm sharing this is because I'm talking about these dynamics you go through that can be opposing to getting something done. Just opposing to getting something done. I spent about a week, my mind going back and forth, and, you know, I had some say, oh, no, the book's about you. Why wouldn't you be on the cover? Then I had somebody say, well, you know, I mean, I think it's a great picture of you, and it'd be nice to be on the cover. And by the way, Jerron Robinson took the photos. If you're interested in some great photography work, shout out to Rhonda Robinson. She birthed him. She even posted on Facebook, my son, you know, like, okay. Everybody going to do that, you know. It's kind of like somebody grows up to be somebody. They used to be in my third grade class, you know. I went about a week with that. And I just, okay. So I said, okay, so let me just minimize any challenge of anybody thinking anything. So I went with the cover, that's the blue sky with the water, put the picture on the back. Now that's for me, that's wisdom, that's balance. But my thinking in the back of my mind is, okay, but if you really knew me. If you really knew me. Yeah, but the saints, I appreciate that. But hear me. The challenge is this. Where the book is going, they don't really know me. So there's balance to it. I'm sharing that simply to say you need to nip stuff in the bud as quick as possible, particularly when... Now, these weren't accusing statements. They were, I feel like, those who genuinely cared about me. I decided to take it that way. But at the end of the day, it was like, okay, let's just keep going here. Let's just keep going. It's about the message. Not always the messenger. It's about the message. Come on, say accusations. Come on, say, I will rise above the questioning of my motives and the intent of my heart. See, if you spend too much time in that place, you won't get done what God has called you to do. Can you imagine that when they were bombarding Jesus with questions, if he'd have walked off and said, well, I just don't know, Father, you know what they're thinking about me? Moving through this season of opposition, you also need to deal with the distractions. Say distractions. Efforts to break your focus, your concentration, just wear you down. I'm moving through these kind of quickly now so we can move on. Distractions. Everybody, we all have them around us, and we have to learn how to manage them. Tobiah, Sanballat, they kept showing up, showing up, showing up. They kept showing up trying to get him to be distracted. What did Nehemiah do? He prayed. What did Nehemiah do? He rose above it. As a matter of fact, Nehemiah is up working on the wall. Word comes to him, a plot to kill him. And individuals come to him and say, the leaders want to meet with you. Do you know what Nehemiah's response to them was? I will not come down. Basically, he said, I'm busy. I will not come down. See, there is this place of being resolute. Say resolute. It's out of that place of being resolute that you're able to just stay with it, even in the midst of what you're dealing with. How many of you know right now that president of the Ukraine is one of the most resolute men on the planet and the people there? I was talking with someone, they said, you know, the United States came to him and said, you know, we can send and get you out of the country. You know what that president said? I don't need a ride. I need more ammunition. Come on. I'm not trying to get out of this community. I just need more resources to get done what we need to be getting done here. Come on, I need about five of y'all to clap because we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We're going to handle the opposition. We're going to rise above it, and the resources are on their way in order to accomplish. He said, I don't need a ride. See, that's a mindset. That's a mindset. I'm not trying to get out of this situation. I need the power to work through this situation. I need the grace to work through. I'm not trying to get out of this job. I need the grace to rise above the dumb stuff that comes with the job. Hey, I'm going to clap. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I almost said the dumb people that come with the job, but y'all, I'm going to let y'all fill in that blank. Do you recognize that that's exactly what the early church was about? When Peter and John were called on the carpet about healing the lame man at Gate Beautiful in Acts chapter 3, chapter 4, when they called them and chastised them and beat them and sent them on their way, they didn't pray, God, get us out of here. They went back amongst the company of the saints and said, we need you to give us some more power. Oh, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. And let me tell you something. There's times when you're on that assignment, you got to be able to say to the devil, to the enemy, and anybody else that's going to be an opposing force, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going, come on. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. No, you're not going to get me to pray to get out of here. I'm going to pray for more power to stay right up here in the midst of this until it's transformed. Moving through a season of opposition. that came to Nehemiah and said, we want you to come, we want to meet with you. He said, I will not come down. I'm too busy. You got to be able to do that sometimes. You know that you're dealing with, what you're dealing with is a distraction. I can't talk to you right now. I can't do that now. You got to be mindful of the weariness. I just got two more things. You got to be mindful of the weariness that comes with this assignment. Fatigue from seemingly lack of progress, taking longer than you thought. The weariness. The people became weary in the process of what they were doing. Fatigue shows up from seemingly lack of progress, and it's taking longer than you thought. Because of the times in which we live and the things that are going on, and Pastor Marisa was telling me there's something that she had listened to recently where a person was talking about how that the young people and children are drawn to TikTok. And part of that dynamic is how fast it goes, okay? How fast it goes. Now, the challenge with that is you get used to that and you think everything's supposed to be like that. When in God, when it comes to purpose and destiny, there are processes that we often have to go through. And if we're not mindful of that, and opposition hits, we become weary. And the scripture says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. Simply meaning, if you just stick with it, stay with it, it's going to be all right. You will reap. You will see the fruit of it if you faint not. The people became wearied. Nehemiah sent out the cry, the Lord is with us. God is with us. Come on, say, God is with us. Come on, say, God is with me. That's what you want to be able to say in those times of weariness. You want to find that place of rest. I talked about, and when I sent out the message yesterday, the phone invite, one of the things I said about coming together in the company of the saints is that we are stronger together. That's why it's good to come together to strengthen one another in this atmosphere. Because weariness, fatigue is real. It hits all of us. And particularly when we're not seeing the progress that we think we should see, thought we would see. It's taking longer than what we thought. But don't think for one minute God is thinking it's taking longer than he thought. Nehemiah just sends out that encouragement to him. Tell him the Lord is with us. God is with us. We're not doing this by ourselves. You have to realize that the weariness, the next one real quick, can lead to depression. It can lead to depression. It can lead to despair. And it can lead to hopelessness if you're not realizing what we're navigating through. And for many right now in the body of Christ, this is where we found ourselves. That's why people aren't gathering. That's why some have tried to spiritualize it. Like, well, I don't really need the church. I'm not on the church right. Well, you better just check yourself out of that spirit. Okay. Well, I'm not really on the church right now. Well, what are you on? Because my Bible tells me in John that if you ain't connected to the vine, and don't think you can be connected to Jesus all by yourself. The body is designed to work together. The body is designed to feed every part. The blood is flowing through the body. The blood is flowing through the body. You cut off a limb, it's dead. So you got to be very careful when you get into that mindset of, you know, you're on this spiritual plane that nobody else knows and nobody else can ever understand. No, you may just be in that place of depression and you need some healing. You need to be delivered. You need to be set free so that you can get back connected in the body. I talk to people and they just tell me, you know, well, I'm just not really going to church right now. Well, I'm not talking about going to church. You are the church, but you need to be connected with some fellowship. You need to be connected with some folk who you can look in each other's eyes and see how we're doing. Because the day you get isolated by yourself, You need to realize the enemy's got you right where he wants you. The end result for the enemy is to get you and I to a place where there's where we're so discouraged, last one, discouragement, that you end, the end result is that you just stop. And that's where many have found themselves. Many of you that are listening by way of the internet right now, I need to just offer this to you, that you take the time to really examine why you are where you are, and if you're joined to this house, why you are not here. I need to say this to those of you that are watching who feel like you're in that space where God has somehow separated you out and you're living out of that space like the prophet who was in the cave saying, all the prophets have bowed their knee except me. And God is saying, no, it's not that way at all. God told the prophet there's 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee. And what I want to say to those of you who are finding yourself in that space, that you really need to allow Holy Spirit to help you to examine your heart. Because what I found is this, saints, more often than not, people who find themselves in that space have been hurt. I know it. Because I've been there. They're offended. And rather than allow themselves to open up and say, you know, this has hurt me, this person hurt me, this ministry hurt me, this pastor hurt me, these saints hurt me, and then allow the Holy Spirit to show you, did they really hurt you, or are you dealing with something that has less to do about them and more to do about you? You see, you won't know those things if you just stay off to yourself. And I can only imagine that Nehemiah is building this wall, and I can only imagine that there were those on the wall saying, what in the world has he got us out here doing? You know, I overheard Sanballat and Tobiah talking to him, and you know what? I'm not real sure about this anymore. The enemy can move us into all those kind of spaces and all those kind of places. You have to know that the pandemic and this virus, I choose just not to even say the name of it. There's so many variants of the thing now. You know, the more you say it, you're just keeping it all alive, in my way of thinking. I told you that the prophetic word I got is that, you know, this word is for a remnant. So, you know, it's like us five, us six, and no more or something. I don't know. But this pandemic did many a disservice. It moved us into a discipline of thinking that we can really just get by on our own. And the church, the body of Christ, is not designed that way. So I pray that you've taken notes on these points that I've given you. I'm speaking to those of you in this season who have felt like there's some sense of opposition, or maybe you feel like things have not moved along as quickly as you would like, or you're thinking things haven't moved along at all. But I want to encourage you by knowing that God will continually show you if you keep your eyes open and you keep your sight high above what you're dealing with right now. I told you how Nehemiah dealt with it. He stayed up, okay? He stayed on that wall. I will not come down. You need to say that. I will not come down. I will not come down. The scripture says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There is a vantage point that's unlike the vantage point that other people have, where they're looking at it through a horizontal lens, but you can look at it from an ascended place in God, and in that place, you navigate out of wisdom because you have information that others don't have because of how they're seeing it. Can you imagine, and I'm about to transition here, but can you imagine in 2 Chronicles 20 when Jehoshaphat and the people were going, recognized these three nations were coming against them? Can you imagine? The scripture says that Jehoshaphat brought them before God after fasting and said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And then God gave them instructions. But can you imagine where their position may have been? They moved out in faith, had for a moment, they got a glimpse that when they started out, thinking there's opposition down the road, if they had just been able to transcend that, ascend to a place where now they're seeing down in that valley while they're marching. Because it says the moment that they began to sing, God set ambushments, meaning at that very moment, the enemy started destroying itself. So can you imagine that they're walking and now they can see in the spirit what's happening as they just keep putting one foot in front of the other? Hey, sometimes you just have to keep moving. Whatever you do, don't stop. Just keep moving, because every step you take, another enemy is taken out. The next step you take, another enemy is taken out. The next step you take, something else is being annihilated. The next step you take, something else is being removed. And you just keep taking one step after another after another. And when you arrive there, that which you thought you would have to deal with is gone, already dealt with. That's the place I'm talking about. And that's what the prophetic will do in your life and in mine. If you've never been open to the prophetic, I want to encourage you. Those of you that are watching by live stream as well, if you've never been open to the prophetic, I want to encourage you to be open to the prophetic, because often that's exactly what God is doing. He's bringing you a word to cause you to rise above your situation and give you a glimpse of a future you can't see yet, because you have to navigate through where you're at right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. If you received this word, come on, thank the Lord. Any part of it, thank the Lord for it right now. Thank the Lord for it right now.